You know, Dr. Bennett, I have heard people say, hold up, let me not generalize. Let me be more specific. Mm-hmm. I have heard women say to me that they could never vote for a female who's running for president. It didn't matter to them what party affiliation. It didn't matter what policy proposals or platform. If she is a female, they said, I cannot vote for her. And I'm thinking, wow. And of course, when they would say that, my question was, why not? I mean, that just floored me that automatically, if she's a female, I cannot vote for her. I say that to ask you to lead us into an exploration of women in leadership.
Mm-hmm. You know, that's an interesting comment, and I heard it, 2008, when Hillary Clinton was running the first time, and that's one of the things I heard folks say, well, you know, I just can't vote for a woman as president. And I was like, well, why not? And, well, you know, there's some things that happen, and you know, there's a lot of pressure, and I don't think a woman can handle that. Well, I think that that's a pretty short-sighted view. What you're saying then is that no matter how competent, no matter how qualified, you are willing and open to bias, to a biased position, simply because a person is female, because of their gender. And I was at the beauty shop, as you might know, when this came up before, and I said, it wasn't that long ago that people felt that way about black folks. You know, some people still don't go to a black doctor or a black dentist or whatever. Nah. And so I think that when we limit ourselves to how accomplished women are, it doesn't matter what the gender is. It doesn't matter what the race is. If the person is qualified, I'm willing to do that. And so to say that a woman might not be able to handle the pressure, I think is very, very short-sighted. And I think a lot of women still have some hang-ups about women in certain positions. If we were to have a discussion about women on the battlefield, on the front line, I have a little problem with that. But, you know, that's for different reasons. But not because of competence, not because of ability, but just because of the sheer danger of it. And so I think that when you think about that, that's one issue. But as we talk about women in leadership, women are making so much progress. And there are the limitations that we see now are only based upon short-sightedness and only based upon women that are not interested or are not courageous enough to move into certain areas. I deal with women in high-ranking positions in cable telecommunications. I deal with women in high positions in commerce and government. And I have been fascinated just by their perspective and just by their sheer ability to manage multiple things. We talk about multitasking. And there was some research that came out a couple of years ago in the Harvard Business Review, and it talked about how the teams that had women on them were more productive because women tend to be more collaborative. And again, we're generalizing that they were dealing with a particular sample group. And they talked about women being more collaborative. Women were more conciliatory. Women were more eager to bring other people into the group and not necessarily interested in self-promotion, although they did not shy away from tooting their own horn. They embraced other people and allowed other people to be who they were. So I think when you think about women's leadership and you think about women leaders add such a different dimension. And I'm not talking about the nurturing and the mothering part, but just the collaborative aspect of it. The way we think, and it's been proven, that women and men's brains, we're wired differently. And when you think about the way that we're wired and let's think about the way that we approach problems, the way that we look for solutions and how we take that deep dive into personalities and getting the information that we need to get in order to make a quality decision, it fascinates me. I am so excited when I see women and I see women in charge. Now, when you say women leaders, are all women leaders great? No. Are all women leaders great bosses? No. Are all women leaders? No. There's a poor rule with no exception. And the great thing about it is that when people allow other people to fail and they are able to move on from that failure, that's when you know you have been accepted. I think back in the 60s and 70s when African Americans were doing a lot in terms of, you know, breaking the glass ceiling, you know, being the first at this and the first at that. Whenever Black people were accepted as people that can fail, people that can fail and will fail, but yet it's not the end of the world. And I think that's when you know you've arrived. And so when it comes to women and how women are perceived and how women are operating, I think that there is so much to be seen, and there's so much more that we're going to see from women in the workplace. Women leaders, hey, I love the sisters, and I love the women when they're in charge, and I love the women when they're leading, because it also gives our young girls a role model, someone to look to say that, you know what, if this person did it, if that person did it, I can do it too. You and I were talking on the break, Carl, about fear. And I think that the more we see women leaders in positions of authority and in great positions, what it does for the next generation and the next generation of women and young girls is it says to them that there are no limits. And if there's a message that I'd like to share with every woman and every girl that's listening, is that there are no limits. If you decide or allow someone to decide for you that there are limitations, then shame on you. Shame on the person that's limiting you, but shame on you for believing that, because there are no limitations. Okay, I want to be a doctor. Okay, the only limitation is that I need to be, the only requirement is that I need to get an education. Getting an education is not a limitation. It's simply a requirement. It's something that I have to do in order to reach my goal. And so as we move forward, looking towards the big weekend that's coming up, I want women to come, bring their daughters, their granddaughters, bring them, because we're going to be talking about that unique relationship between a mother and a daughter, a mother and a granddaughter, a granddaughter and a grandmother, and just the sheer power of that relationship. And when we rear children, rear girls, and many of us are rearing boys too, but when we are rearing children and we let those children know that, hey, you are enough. Just the way you are, you are enough. Okay, do I need to do some tweaking? Heck yeah. We're all improving, but you are enough. You don't have to be like somebody else to be good enough. You're good enough.
And I like that.
You are.
And let me, on that note, ladies, you are good enough to be considered a diamond in the rough. Reflections of a Lovely Lady, Saturday, August 22nd at 9 a.m. Hilton Garden Inn, 1065 Stevens Creek Road, Augusta, GA. Dr. L. Diane Bennett, the keynote speaker. You get to hear more from her. Be sure to register soon. Again, you can call 706-504-5908 for more information to register. Thank you again, Dr. Bennett.
Thank you so much, Carl. Have a great day.
You too.